Hey guys. Hi. Thanks, worship band. You guys are awesome. How is everybody? I'm Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Lemonizzle. From next door. Yeah. I know we're kind of light tonight. It's kind of sad because, like, my kid is gone with some of the other kids, but they're coming home tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day we get them back. So it's a little light tonight, but that's okay. Don't forget, if you've got the Bible app, if you don't have the Bible app, get it because it's quick and easy and stuff. Even in here, I think you can, like, have enough Wi-Fi to download it. It doesn't use up a whole lot of room, so even if you have a lot of Pokemon, you should be able to get it. Just saying. It's under, I didn't know this because I never had to follow it before, but it's under Connect Student Ministries in the events section. And you can follow along that way. And it's cool because you can go back and forth, like if you want to read some more of the verse without getting distracted like I do in the middle of service, but you can just like tap on whatever verse is in there and it'll take you straight to it. And you can look around in the rest of the chapters or make your own notes in there. You can save them in there and it'll stay there forever if you make notes. So that's where I will be, because it's easier to follow along that way for me. All right, so this week, it's week 3 of Refresh and Connect. We're talking about the Trinity and who God is. This can be a little tricky sometimes because I think as a kid, even as I grew older, I like had this idea of God being split into fractions. Because when we learn that one whole thing is split into other parts, they're always smaller parts. And so in my head, that's always where it was. So it's nice to have a better understanding of these other parts of God that we kind of learn about as we get older. So our first point is, what is our first point? The Trinity, who is God? Let's see. I didn't even look at your notes, Jay, sorry. So in order to understand, or I guess a little bit better study it, It's nice to have an understanding of, we could go on like this path forever. We could come here every day of every week and keep on studying and never really understand every part of God. So if it's still tricky sometimes, that's okay. But I like to start with, who is God? He's the being that we believe created us and everything else. He's also, since we're on the topic of the Trinity, it's important to know that he is indivisible. This is in our Pledge of Allegiance to our country, right? Indivisible. We know that that means it can't be broken apart. Even though we're studying the different parts and the different personalities of God, when we separate him, we know that it doesn't necessarily mean that each benefit that we get from each part of the Trinity is less powerful than the next. It doesn't mean that each help we get from the Trinity is more or less powerful than God as a whole himself, or as just the next part. So that's important to understand. I like to look at Deuteronomy 6:4. That's our verse of the night to look at. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All right, so this is kind of, I don't know, the main or maybe even the first time when I realized in the Bible that they're telling us, like, the Lord is just one, it's one being. We don't have to think about him being many, many gods that other religions, especially at the time, had to keep track of. You don't have a sun god, you don't have an earth god, you don't have any of this thing. You just have your one God, God the creator. And later on in the same chapter, verse 14, specifically tells us not to follow other gods, not to worship other gods. So we already know that it definitely doesn't mean that God as a Trinity means that there are three completely different entities and we should spend our time, oh, well, I got to go worship this God now and this God now and this God now. It definitely tells us that we can be sure that it's all the same God. God has many characteristics. You will see it. You will see the characteristics mentioned in different ways. You'll hear like personalities. I've heard it mentioned as the benefits of God. The three, I guess, parts of the Trinity they all have all of these characteristics. God is omnipotent. that means completely all powerful. The word potent means, like, you think like, oh, how potent is that? Potent means strong. If you walk into like a lady's bathroom at like a kitschy restaurant, you know that some old woman has been in there because she's got 10 types of perfume embedded in her skin. It's very potent. God is all powerful. Omni means all. It means everything, all in one. Omniscient, it means that he knows everything. The word science just means learning so we can know stuff. It means studying all of the things that are studyable so that we can know stuff. That's what science means. That's all it means. And so omniscient means knowing all of the things. All of the things that there ever were to know, are to know, or will be to know. He knows them because he made them all. Right? And then omnipresent, present means we're here. So presence has to do with where you are. So if God is omnipresent, he's always here, but he's also always there. He is all-encompassing. So if Nat's having a nasty day and I'm also having a nasty day, we can both be in the presence of God. We don't have to, like, it's your turn to have some God. And tomorrow is going to be my turn to have some God, and the rest of you all have to get in line. All right? We know that he's omnipresent. He's also holy and perfect. Holy and perfect. Perfect means without sin. And holy, or perfect means without sin. Holy, the way I think of it, is separate from sin. We think about heaven as this holy place, and we know that God cannot be in the presence of sin. And that's why we're separated from him. That's why we teach that the moment man fell into sin and chose his own path, he had to be separated from God. That is a place where sin cannot be. And that's why we do have to reconcile with Jesus at some point in our lives if we can be in the presence of God. We say, well, God is always with you. We need to realize that he is a being with no flaws, no faults, and he also doesn't spend time with like, you're not going to go to this one place. Someone I spoke to a long time ago had this idea that, like, all of the angels and all of the demons and everybody was just together, but God was in charge. And that, I guess, is a nice idea if you're a demon. But if you're not, you need to understand that God wants us to be separate from sin, and he's a perfect example of that. God is love. We kind of hear this all the time, and it's gotten to be kind of cliche. But there's, I feel, almost no more important part to, like, take to heart. Okay, he's the embodiment of love. He created the idea of love, and he shows it constantly to us. That's how he's able to forgive us when we have sinned. That's how he's able to want to be with us, even though we've chosen to be separate from him. Because he is love. He's a perfect, pure, forgiving, and jealous love, and he wants all of us. He's also the only sovereign God. And we see this many, many times in the Bible, not just in the Deuteronomy chapters and verses that we already mentioned. He's the only sovereign God. He wants us to recognize that he's the only one, because we can't understand him if we constantly compare him to other entities that there are. So what is the Trinity? And I know you'll study a little bit more of this later. But the Trinity is, by name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's kind of like, that's how we have named them. The Father is, he's the Father. He made us. He's your dad. He's the person who created you, me, and everything. So he's the creator and also the provider, because everything you need, he has already made, and he has already proportioned for you and decided what you need and how you're going to get it. God the Father. And then the Son, obviously the Son of God. We know him by name as Jesus. God gave a piece of himself, who was all the way God, to us on earth to walk the earth as all the way a person, so that he could experience life with us as a person, so that he could be relatable to us. You know, he had people picking on him because they were jealous of him. He had people who hated him because he was a different religion than they were. He had people hating him because they thought his mother was dirty. he went through all of the same types of stuff that we've gone through, and we looked at, this is a lesson for another day, but we can, I remember we've spoken before about how you can take every little sin or temptation and narrow them down to the times that Satan tempted Jesus. He walked this earth as a person so that we can relate to him. So we have the Son of God as a person who we can be equal to. We're co-heirs with him to the throne. He's like a brother to us. And then we have the Holy Spirit, which is literally the Spirit of God. You've heard before, like, oh, that person's still with you. You have their spirit. Or I'll be with you in spirit. That's literally what it is. It's a reminder of the way we're supposed to live. The Spirit is kind of like a guide to us and a lead, our conscience and conviction. Jesus said, I can't be on this earth anymore, but you will have my Spirit with you to walk with you. All three of them together, though, are still God. Each of them is God. No one entity of the Trinity is more or less powerful than the next. The last point is a question is, who is God to you? Well, I always think of them, I think of the Trinity as separate, and that actually helps me to think of it as whole. Like I said, you have God, your creator, which I consider my provider, the person who really wants me to exist because he's the one who made me. Okay, we've all had times where we're like, does anybody care that I'm here? Does anybody care that I have what I need? Will I have everything that I need? Why am I here? And he's the guy who made that choice. He's the one who has the answers and decided that it was so, okay? Jesus is the one who says, yeah, you are worth it, and I'll prove it because I'm going to die so that you don't have to. He's the one that makes everything okay. He's also our defender. My group talked a little bit about this last week. We are constantly under accusation for our sin, and Jesus always steps in and he's like, I died for that person. She's mine. He's mine. Their name is in my book. Stop messing with me about this person. It's over. It's finished. He's the one that makes it okay. And then the Holy Spirit is kind of just a friendly reminder, or a not so friendly reminder, that we're walking in the right path or on the wrong path or where we're supposed to be. We call it a conscience. It's the voice of God. So that we can have Christ with us, because he really did need to go and be with his Father. That's where he belongs. He was separated for too long, and he belongs with his Father. So I guess the question to ask yourselves, even in small groups, which I love, I'm so excited for small groups, you guys, because I never got to do small groups on Sundays because I go to Sunday school all the time. And I'm really enjoying it. But one question I want you to ask yourselves, even if you don't discuss it a lot in small groups, maybe if you still have your pray, read, think, write, do journals, you can write that real big. Who is God? If you can pin it down to a point to where you can really answer who is God to you, that's when you can start making God really personal. We always say, like, this is about a relationship. It's not a relationship if it's not personal, because my relationship with God can't be yours. It can't be my choice for your life. It has to be yours. So that is the question that I'll leave you with. Please think it over seriously. Do you need something? We're good? Oh, yes, we have to pray. But we're already at church, though.
We can still pray.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do it. Let's pray. Awesome, Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come together. We know how just precious our time is here, where we can come and meet with other believers. We know that you're everywhere with us, but it can be a little daunting when we're not sure where our brothers and sisters are. We know that we're supposed to take your word with us and tell everyone about it, because that's what you've charged us with. And we know that you'll provide the right opportunities, but it still can get a little hairy if we feel like we're alone. And so if we come here throughout the week and just get recharged, reminded by our peers that we're doing something right, asking our peers the questions that are too hard to ask anyone else, Lord, and hearing from our leaders who have lived it all already. And I just thank you so much for that opportunity. I pray that your Spirit will fill each and every one of us and guide us in the conversations that might be a little hard to have, or the questions that we might be a little embarrassed to ask. Please remind us that we're all still kind of trying to figure this out, and even if we did spend every day of our lives studying your word, there would still be more about you to learn, Lord. Bless us in our small groups tonight. In your name, amen.